Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this morning's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 12, verses 1 through 8. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So far, some of the text. Maybe secretly. In Christ Jesus, whose sacrifice of himself for us will motivate us to sacrifice ourselves for him, dear fellow redeemed. Have to or want to? Which will it be? In our confirmation class, we're always reminding our confirmands that when we hear the grace of our Savior, the good news of his suffering and death for us, we're motivated to be want-to Christians, not have-to ones. When we realize what we are by nature, lost in sins, dead in unbelief, headed for damnation apart from Christ, and then meditate and realize what Jesus Christ has done for us and made us, redeemed and restored, forgiven and righteous, will we move to want to live in thanksgiving and service to God. And that's the message Paul has for each of us in our sermon text this morning. Paul begins by beseeching, that is, by begging, urging his readers. Begging and urging them to do what? That by the mercies of God, we be non-conformists. Well, what's that? Well, I grew up in the 60s. In the 60s, there were many people who were non-conformists. They were called hippies. They dressed differently. They lived differently. They didn't live according to the norms of society. They lived according to their own norms and their own ways. Is that what Paul's talking about here? No, he doesn't say that we should be a nonconformist by living to the ways we want or we choose or our own norms. But he also says, don't be conformed to the world either. So he's talking about being a nonconformist by living according to God's ways. And that's our theme this morning, which is a question. The question is, are you a nonconformist for Christ? We read again our first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Paul doesn't say, you must, you should, and point the Christian back to himself. No, he points to Christ, the mercies of God, and all that Jesus Christ has done for us. When we really meditate from the heart on what Jesus did for us, how he willingly went to the cross, not just to suffer and die, but to be damned for us. We will indeed present our bodies as living sacrifices to God. And that's our first point. God's mercies will motivate us to sacrifice, not self-service. In the Old Testament, if you mention the word sacrifice to the Old Testament Jew, he would think of lambs, goats, bulls being offered, or grain offerings, or first fruit offerings, or the tithe. You mention to someone today, a Christian, sacrifice, we think of sacrificing our time, our talents, our offerings. Time in the pew, time and talents helping around the church, giving our offerings. Is that what Paul's talking about as a living sacrifice? Yeah. But more than that. Life for life. Jesus gave us his. We will want to give him ours. The Lord, through Solomon, in Proverbs 23:26, wrote, "My son, give me your heart, and let your eyes observe my ways." It's not some legal requirement we're going to do in order to earn God's favor. We're motivated by God's great mercy and love for us in Christ Jesus to give of ourselves in thanksgiving and in service, both to God and to our fellow man. It's not something else brought as a substitute sacrifice, as lambs and gifts like that. It's ourselves. It's not self-service. It's sacrificial service to others. And it's not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice. And what's a living sacrifice? A living sacrifice is sitting in the pews and not going through mechanically the motions of worship, but from the heart, the deepest, inmost being of our soul, praising and singing and glorifying our Savior in our worship. It means the attitude of giving praise and glory to God in all that we think and say and do, not just on Sunday morning, but every day of our lives. It means looking at ourselves honestly and seeing our sins, acknowledging them, repenting of them, and then throwing ourselves at the foot of Jesus' cross and seeking that forgiveness that he gives to us. It means not just saying and thinking about helping our neighbor, but put into action day by day. But Paul says it also means to transform rather than conform. We read in verse 2. "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." When a person becomes a believer in Christ, a child of God, through faith worked in his heart by the Holy Spirit, a blessed change or conversion takes place in the heart. Paul calls it, he's transformed, transformation. The Greek word there is metamorphosis. Perhaps you know what that is. So when you take a little fat, fuzzy caterpillar, crawling along, that suddenly turns into a beautiful butterfly, flying and soaring in the sky. That's what happens to people. We're dead in sins. When the ash heap of unbelief and the Holy Spirit comes into our hearts and we soar above the sins and sorrows and grief and unbelief of this world, being changed from an unbeliever into a believer in Christ through the means of grace, the gospel and word and sacraments. You know, if you'd ask a beautiful multicolored monarch, would you rather turn back into that fat, slow-crawling caterpillar? Think you'd do it? Why would we ever want to go back to and conform ourselves to the world and all the world teaches us? As believers in Christ, we know that all things work together for good to those who love God. As believers in our Savior Jesus, we know that we can bask in God's grace and glory. And every day, day after day after day, be assured our sins are forgiven. As children of God in Christ Jesus, we know that we can rely on our Lord God for everything and anything, and through His power, He will always make sure that He'll accomplish His work in our lives, which is for our eternal best. Why would we ever want to go back and conform ourselves to the world's thinking? Which is, do it yourself. You can do it. Do what you think is best for yourself. When we know that God's grace for us in Christ Jesus is always what's best for us. In fact, Paul says, by living as a transformed believer, we're putting God's promises to the test. Paul writes, proving, testing what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, God's mercies will motivate us to sacrifice, not self-service, will motivate us to transform rather than to conform, but thirdly, it also motivate us to harmony and not strife. We read verses 3 through 8. For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. For as we have many members in one body, but all the members do not have the same function, so we, being many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, let us prophesy in proportion to our faith. Or ministry, let us use it in our ministering. He who teaches, in teaching. He who exhorts, in exhortation. He who gives, with liberality. He who leads, with diligence. He who shows mercy, with cheerfulness. There cannot be harmony and unity in a group if someone thinks that they're better than others. If someone thinks that they're more important than others. But unfortunately, that's the natural way. Every one of us has this inbred pride. Our sinful pride leads us to think, I'm more important than you. I'm more special than you. Our sinful ego wants only what it wants for itself. But when we're brought to be to faith in Jesus Christ as a child of God, the new man in us tells us that, no, others are more important than me. We'll look upon others as being more important than ourselves, like Jesus did. When he came to this world, not to be served, when he deserved all of that, but to serve. So when we think soberly, as Paul writes, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith, we realize that every single one of us, in fact the whole world, we're all the same by nature. We're all lost in sin, dead in unbelief, unable to save ourselves. Had God not sent his son, Jesus Christ, we would all be headed to damnation and we'd still be children of Satan. It's all grace. All undeserved love. How dare we think more highly of ourselves. But even as we are all sane by nature, Paul says that we're all different in our gifts. Paul now paints for us a very visual picture of what it's like in our relationships together as a Christian congregation. And he uses the picture of something we see every day when we look in a mirror. And that's our body. You look in the mirror, you've got one body. But you've got many members in that body. And all those different members of your body work and function to make your body work well. So Paul says, we're all one in Christ. One body in Christ. We're all individual members. We all have different functions, different things to do in order to make that body of Christ work well and properly. And he concludes this section by laying before us seven different gifts that individual members of the Christian church have. Not everyone has all these gifts, but every Christian has some of these gifts. The first one, prophecy, meaning proclaiming God's word. If you have the gift to speak God's word to others, then use it to speak God's word, not your own. That you'd be glorifying God for the welfare of the body. The second gift, ministry, which literally means service. And literally the words are our service in our serving. This is probably the least exalted gift, but one of the most needed. It's not leading, not proclaiming, not teaching, not staying out there in the forefront, but simply serving one another. What a selfless gift to have, and what a necessary gift for the body of Christ. Third gift, teaching. Jesus gave us a commission to teach them to observe all things that I've commanded you. If you have the gift to teach others the word of God, use that gift to teach about Jesus. Fourth gift, exhortation, means encouragement. That kind of an insignificant gift? Hardly. It's that special gift of some Christians to impart just the right words of comfort and encouragement at just the right time, in just the right amount, so as not to be overbearing. Next gift, giving. Paul says giving with liberality, meaning generosity or simplicity of heart. Not worrying about shortchanging ourselves, not being concerned about keeping up back for ourselves. This is a special gift that only a few have. Next gift, leadership. Paul says, leading with diligence. That means leading with eagerness, zeal, desire, effort. Not unwillingly, but leading with the desire that God has given to you. And the final gift, mercy. Showing mercy cheerfully. What a gift that is. Not thinking, oh, here we go again. Everybody needs my help. But instead, cheerfully giving mercy and pity to others who are in need. Not worrying if you've been too firm or too lax or what you're going to get out of it. Just willingly giving. Notice all of these gifts are giving to others. Doing for others. That's really being a nonconformist. That's being like Christ. That's living for Christ. And as Christians, we all want to grow in our sanctification, in our Christian life. Paul tells us the only way to do that is by the mercies of God. The more we read the Word of God, the more we hear the Word of God, the more we study and meditate upon God's words of love and forgiveness, the more we keep our eyes focused upon Jesus' great sacrifice for us, the more we will grow in our love and appreciation for Jesus, in our love and service to others. And so our prayer is that the Holy Spirit lead us all to grow in the knowledge of our Savior Jesus Christ, so we can grow in the use of these multitude gifts that our Holy Spirit has given to us to use, so that the Lord would have us function as one body as He intends, to the glory of His name and for the welfare of each other. And also, so that God would add more and more members to His body by using us as living sacrifices, by speaking, telling, showing Jesus Christ to those who don't know Him as our Lord and Savior. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. The peace of God which passes understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.